If you're able somehow to get through some door that God has closed for your life, you're not going to like what you find on the other side.
Touching your life with the Word of God. This is the Thursday edition of In Touch, the teaching ministry of Charles Stanley. Have you ever experienced a closed door? Perhaps the closed door in your life has taken the form of a failed financial venture or a job opportunity that just didn't work out. Whatever the form, closed doors often result in discouragement, confusion, even anger. We're left wondering, why did this happen? Who is responsible? And where do we go from here? How do you handle the intense emotions that accompany such experiences? Well, Charles Stanley addresses these difficult issues on today's In Touch program. As you listen, remember that no matter how wonderful the opportunity appears, if God closes a door, it's for your own benefit. Discover the biblical response to confronting closed doors as you listen now to Dr. Stanley.
Are you facing some closed door in your life? I mean by that some wonderful opportunity that you thought, surely this is going to open for my life. Something you planned on, something you dreamed about, something you just knew was going to happen. Maybe the door closed. That is, the door closed on a relationship that you knew was going to end in marriage. A financial situation that you knew was going to give you security. Maybe the door is closed on an opportunity for you to have a promotion that meant an increase in salary, prominence and prestige, and all the things you'd been looking for. Maybe the door closed on your opportunity to further your education or to be appointed by a mission board. Or maybe you've just discovered the door is closed on your opportunity of ever bearing your own child. How have you responded to those disappointments? Well, now, there are wrong ways to respond, and there are right ways to respond. And the wrong ways to respond, probably most of us are familiar with those, because that's maybe the way many of us respond without thinking. We come to something that we really dreamed of, or we were just so absolutely sure God was going to do this, and all of a sudden, the door is closed. How do we respond to those things? Well, there's a wrong way to respond. And one of those wrong ways to respond is to try to enter the door anyway, try to push it down. That is, manipulate your circumstances or manipulate others to help you get through a door that God has closed. Now, let me just say this to you. If you're able somehow to get through some door that God has closed for your life, you're not going to like what you find on the other side. It's not going to be what you think it is. And it may be that when you first enter, it looks exactly like you expected it to look. Things may appear to be just exactly like you planned. But very, very soon, you're going to find it all beginning to disintegrate right in your hands. It isn't going to work. What you have is going to fall apart. The plans that you'd made, you're not going to be able to fulfill, because you see, that's the way sin is. It makes big promises it can never fulfill. And so, one of the ways to respond to that closed door is to push it open, or at least try to push it open anyway. A second way to respond to closed doors is by emotional upset, having yourself a big pity party. Well, God, what happened? And so you get down in the dumps and you get discouraged and you call your friends and you tell them how disappointed you are. And so then that begins to move on to a little bit of anger. And then you get real angry and you become bitter and hostile. And so what happens is you become anxious about the opportunities that may lie ahead. And now this one is closed. And so you don't know what you're going to do and you become more and more upset. And what happens is you lose your sense of perspective. And instead of growing in your sensitivity to the doors that God may open, your anger, bitterness, hostility, and resentment create such an atmosphere you can't see the next open door when it's right in front of you. Another way people respond is to blame someone. Well, who's responsible for this closed door? And so we look around to say, well, it must have been him, it must have been her. And then sometimes we say, God, why did you do this to me? I know that you could have changed this if you wanted to. And the truth is, God can change anything He chooses to change. So sometimes a person who really loves God, really wants to do the Lord's will, they are so disappointed and disillusioned. And what happened? They say, God, why did you allow this to happen? And before long, they're blaming God and getting angry at God for what He allowed to happen, not asking the reason why. Then a fourth way some people respond to closed doors is they just rebel against God. And they begin to grow cool toward the things of God. And I've seen this happen so many times. People who are active in the church, active in the Lord's work, and because God closes a door that they had looked forward to, worked for, dreamed of, and God closes that door, without stopping to ask why, without seeking the Lord's mind, without looking for the doors that God may have opened, what happens is they rebel against God in their anger and hostility and bitterness. And what happens? They grow cold to the things of God and end up being on the heap, useless before God, unfit to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and oftentimes very, very difficult to live with. That's all the wrong ways to respond. And you see, what happens is when people respond wrongly, there are consequences to that. And I want you to turn, if you will, to the 16th chapter of the book of Genesis. And I want you to look at this passage for a moment. Very important passage. You recall that God had promised to Abraham He's going to give him a son. And He said to him that all the nations of the earth were going to be blessed as a result of this son that He was going to give him. You remember, He chose him above all the other people. And you recall in the 16th chapter, now Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram, "Now behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children through her." And Abram listened to the voice of Sarah. Now when Ishmael is born, Abraham is 80 years of age. Now God said to him, "I'm going to give you a son." But He closed the door. And He wouldn't let Sarah bear a son. So what did Sarah do? She decided she'd handle that. So she decided to open the door herself. Now what did she do? She chose an Egyptian handmaid and said to Abraham, "You go in and have a child through Hagar." And he mistakenly listened to her. Then, if you read the rest of that story, and we don't have time to read all of that, now Abraham's got two women in his household he's got to live with. A big mistake. Because the Bible says there was a rift between Sarah and Hagar. And finally, Sarah had her thrown out. So when Ishmael is born, Abraham is 80 years of age. God shut the door, and Abraham and Sarah decided to open it in case somehow what God promised didn't work out. Listen to me very carefully. When God makes a promise, everything that omnipotence means guarantees it will be done. Now, I want you to see what happened. This is 16th chapter now. And I want you to turn to the 21st chapter. Now, remember, he was 80 years old when Ishmael was born. Chapter 21 says, "Then the Lord took note of Sarah, as He had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as He had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time." Listen to that. That is, God knew when He was going to open the door. When was He going to open the door? Look in verse 5. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Why do you think God kept the door closed? Well, there are probably several reasons, but one of them is this. God wanted Abraham to know that this promise of His, that the whole world would be blessed through him. And He says, "Your seed's going to be like the stars in the sky. Absolutely, you cannot number them." And He was going to give him a son. There would be no question This is a miracle of God. This man is 100 years old. And his wife has been barren all of these years. And now what happens? If he'd have just waited 20... Listen, if you've waited 80 years, what's 20 more? But now listen. Some of you are 30 and you're not married. Look, if you've waited 25 or 30 years, what's five more? You say, five more. But suppose you live to be 75. Hadn't you rather live about 40 of them with God's choice? Happy, contented, fulfilled, knowing in the will of God, than to be living with somebody that was not the will of God? Because you insisted on your schedule rather than God's schedule. This is a wonderful chapter. Listen. Verse 2. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. What am I saying? Simply this. There's some awesome consequences for shoving open God's doors. Now listen carefully. Don't ever push open a door that God has closed in your life. Because you see, you can deprive yourself of life's greatest opportunity. I plead with you in Jesus' name. Make a decision sitting right where you are. Oh God, grant me the wisdom to always listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And not to try to push open a door that you have closed for my own protection. You won't like what you find on the other side of that door. There are always consequences to opening doors that God has closed. Now, what's the right way to respond when God closes the door? And there are right ways to respond. And when you look at this passage, certainly Paul... It's a beautiful example of this because the Bible says that when the Spirit of God told him to stop, that's exactly what he did. He went to Troas and he stopped there until he had a vision. Now, how long he was there, we don't know, but the Bible says that he ended up there and a vision appeared to Paul. And more than likely, it wasn't the same day. It may not have been that night or the next night or a week later. We don't know how long it was, but he waited until what? He waited until God gave him very clear direction for what he was to do. Now, how are you and I to respond when God closes the door? If you'll jot these down. Number one, wait till he opens that door or another door of opportunity. Wait till he opens the door or another door of opportunity. And if he has it closed, he has it closed for a very specific purpose, which we've mentioned before. Now, he's going to show you. Listen to what he says. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He will direct thy path. These folks who want to live their lives just running around making their own decisions, doing their own thing and asking God to bless what they did, that's not scriptural. Listen to this. I will guide thee with mine eye. I will teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will show you what doors to enter. God will show you. Just wait until that door opens or until God says, this is the direction and this is the door that I'm going to open for you. So first of all, our response is to wait. The second response is to look for God's purpose. That is, Lord, why have you closed this door? You see, you and I always want to learn everything we can learn in the process of following the Lord's leadership. And so it is right to ask the question, Lord, why have you closed this door? Because here's what happens. When I ask the Lord to show me why he's closed this door, what I'm going to naturally do is to begin to look around me and to see if God has opened some other door that I have missed. And you see, if I'm willing to wait and look for God's purpose, God's going to show you his purpose. It may be that you're through that door later on and you'll find out why he closed it for a season. It may be that you're through another door over here And you look back and see now why God closed that door. He had something far better for you. First of all, we are to wait upon Him. And secondly, we are to look for God's purpose. And third, we're to pray, listen, we're to pray for God's guidance while we're waiting. Lord, show me how I'm to respond to this. That is there another door here? Asking for His divine guidance, asking for the Spirit to make you sensitive to the events that are going on around you, because sometimes there's another open door right beside this one and we can't even see it. So we pray for God to give us guidance and make us sensitive while we're waiting. Then the fourth is to anticipate a greater door of opportunity. That is, you and I have the right to expect God to do a better thing every single time He closes a door. And I can look back at my life, and I'm sure many of you can, and thank God we didn't walk through some doors. Thank God that He had something far, far better for us. Thank Him for protecting us, redirecting us. Anticipate a greater door of opportunity opening for us. And then, number five, thank Him. While you're waiting, you're thanking Him for protecting you, loving you enough, and for Him keeping His word in Romans 8:28. For God is engineering all of our circumstances for our good. That is the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Thanking Him for loving us enough while we are waiting. And then number six, be faithful doing what God has called you to do while you're waiting for God to either open that door or open another door, which means that you're not doing nothing. You're actively involved in walking in the Spirit, obeying God, doing the very thing that He wants you to do until He opens the door. The idea that I'm not going to do anything until God opens this door is not scriptural. We are to be faithfully serving the Lord Jesus Christ in whatever vocation He has you. Whatever you're doing, you're to be faithful at that until God chooses to open the door that appears to be closed or to open another door in your life. Well, let me tell you where all of this begins. All of this begins with you walking through a door of opportunity that you have today. It is a door that God provided a long time ago. It is a door the erection of which cost Almighty God, His only begotten Son, Jesus, at Calvary. For when He died on the cross at Calvary, God opened the door for you and everyone else to walk through a door of salvation. Remember what Jesus said? I am the door into life eternity. And so I want to invite you today to give your life to Christ, to confess your sins to Him, to ask Him to forgive you of your sins, and tell Him that you want to begin to walk through the doors of opportunity that He's opened for you. And I can tell you, as a person who's rejected Jesus Christ, you'll go through a lot of doors. But I'm going to tell you, my friend, you're going to keep on being disappointed. Oh, once in a while, you may get a thrill here and there, and you may have a sense of satisfaction. But you will miss God's great opportunities which He has planned for you. And I want to invite you to Christ, to give your life to Him. Walk through the door of salvation by faith. And then you can look down through your life and you won't be able to see ahead of time. But door after door after door of wonderful opportunity and blessing and fulfillment and contentment awaits every single child of God. Sometimes through those doors there'll be suffering and heartache and sorrow and hardship. And sometimes you want to turn around and run the other way. But listen, God will never turn you back. He'll just keep you moving on through those doors, some small, some majestic. But everyone on the other side of it, listen, is the awareness of the presence of God, the evidence of the presence of God, and an intimate relationship with Him that is continually getting stronger and stronger and stronger. You never make a mistake obeying God. You always make a mistake disobeying Him. And it is my prayer that you'll be wise and obey Him. Lord Jesus, we love You. How patient You are when we have walked through doors we've had no business going through. Thank You for the doors You've slammed shut. Thank You for giving us the wisdom to wait. Thank You for all the wonderful, wonderful ways that you make your presence known in our life, moment by moment, day by day. We love you, we praise you, we thank you. And Father, I want to pray for those who need to be saved, that they not waste their life rushing through life, battering down every barrier and every obstacle before them, trying to find some peace and joy and happiness and security when it's not there apart from Christ. I pray for those, Father, who are facing those closed doors and have been knocking awfully hard. And they've been trying to manipulate their way through, and so far you've not let them in. Would you just give them the wisdom to back off today and say, "All right, Lord, I yield myself to your will. If you don't ever want me to walk through this door, I choose not to walk through it. If at a later time, I choose to do it. If there's some other door, Lord Jesus, the answer is yes." Father, how would you pray that you'll sink this message in the heart of children, young people, young adults, as well as all the rest of us. Oh God, to deliver them from awfully disastrous mistakes that will dog their feet all of their life. We just want to tell you we love you. And we don't know why you love us the way you do, and why you're so patient and kind and good. But we just tell you we love you, we praise you, we adore you. That you're interested enough that every single morning when we wake up, there you are to take our hand and walk through the next door. Bless you is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Closed doors are a reality for each of us. But when we look for God's purpose in them, we're able to respond correctly in spite of the disappointment we may feel. Dr. Stanley explained that the first and most important door God will always allow open is the one leading to salvation. Open it today as you place your trust in Jesus Christ and invite Him into your life. Just before He left the earth, Jesus told His disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything He commanded. That was a specific command to first century believers, and it extends to us as well. But many Christians ignore that directive from Christ because they feel they don't understand enough about the Bible. If that's your reason for not telling others about Christ, then equip yourself by reading the In Touch magazine. Once you begin your free subscription, then each month you'll receive a magazine filled with information that will better prepare you to handle your responsibility to share Christ. To begin your free subscription, just mention the In Touch magazine when you write. Our address is In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. Once again, that's In Touch, in care of Far East Broadcasting Company, MPO Box 88, Seoul, 121707, Korea. By the way, you can hear an encore presentation of today's radio message on Real Audio. Our internet address is intouch.org. We sometimes encounter situations that seem too big to handle. But remember that we are never alone. When He returns tomorrow, Charles Stanley helps us to know what to do when facing life's mountains. Join us Friday here on In Touch. Touching Lives with the Word of God. Charles Stanley's teaching is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia, USA.